Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the love of the people of God. I thank you for the love between us, Lord God, that we want to talk and we want to fellowship with each other, Lord, because that love comes from you, Lord God. And we thank you, oh Lord, that we could come from the four corners of the earth and we'll still be brothers and sisters because of Jesus Christ, Lord. So we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for making us one, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that we will continue to grow in that oneness, Lord God. I pray that we will continue to love each other and hold to each other, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to take in the word today, Lord. Let us not just let it roll off our backs, but let us take it in, digest it, and live it, Lord God. It means nothing if we don't live it, Lord God. So I pray by your Holy Spirit that it would live. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill this room, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let your holy presence fill the atmosphere of this room, and not just this room, but down the halls, Lord, through this entire house of God. Let your presence fill the place, Lord of God, and not just this house of God, but all the houses of God in Pueblo that proclaim that Jesus is Lord, Lord God, and not just in Pueblo, but reaching Colorado Springs and Denver and all through the state of Colorado, Lord God. And we pray not just for Colorado, we pray for the entire nation of the United States of America. Oh Lord, you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the living God will lift up a standard against him. So Lord, we pray you lift up a standard in this nation against the enemy. Oh Lord, we cast down his lies. We take authority over his lies in the name of Jesus. And we pray that the mind blindness would fall off the people and that they will see truth, Lord God. And we pray not just for this nation, but for the nations all over the world, Lord God. As your church expands, Lord God, all over the world, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in foreign lands and foreign countries. Oh God, those that risk their lives, Lord, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you be with them and protect them, Lord God, and keep them by your power. Encourage their hearts, Lord God. In the darkest of night, encourage their hearts, Lord God. Father, I pray that as a church we would be focused, oh God, on the true things that you want us to be focused on, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We are going to go into our lesson. We're still on true accountability, folks. And I think we're going to finish up today, believe it or not. I think we're going to finish up today. We're going to try our best. There are a couple of handouts. If you don't have a handout, there's a couple of handouts, extra handouts on the desk. And then next week, guys, hopefully we'll be starting the new lesson. And I know I usually have the lesson here, but I just didn't get to it this weekend to get it to you. But next week we'll have the new lesson in the war room.
I think I did.
And hasn't this been good? And I've been working with, my daughter's been helping me to get it up on the podcast. So we have all of lesson one from the war room up on the podcast. And I'm going to try and get accountability up there this week. You know, so those lessons, so you can listen to it. I'm recording our lessons so that we can have it up on the podcast. And the website is faithfights.com. Faithfights with an S.com. You know, so you can go there and you can listen to the podcast and hear the class over and over again and share it with others and, you know, and all of that. And I also have folks that are on the email. If you're on the email list, I will be emailing you the lesson, the new lessons as well. Okay, so look for the email. I'm hoping to get it out to you by Friday or Saturday. I'll email it to you, but I also will bring a bunch of hard copies in next week, okay? Could I make all the announcements okay? Okay. So here we go, guys. So last week we were finishing up and we were talking about freedom and what freedom meant and, you know, that Jesus Christ really bought our freedom. And we use that word komimius, which means in the Hebrew, erect or upright, meaning that's what freedom does for you. You know, freedom is not just a release from physical chains. Freedom is something that happens up here and in here. You know, so Jesus Christ set us free in our mind. He set us free in our hearts. And that's what komimius means, that you can lift up your head. You know, because sometimes people, when they're in bondage and slave, their heads are down. Even though physically their heads may be up, inside, their heads are down, you know, because they feel all kind of things about themselves. But Jesus Christ came to set us free. And that's the attitude you want to have when it comes to real accountability. That's still the theme of our lesson, the name of our lesson, real accountability. When we are ministering to our brothers and sisters, we want to minister to them, come me you. That your head can be up and erect because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You're covered in his blood and you are set free, totally free from the bondages of sin. You know, you're set free. You know, so as we finish up the last section, I think, guys, it's a point, this section that says the highway of the upright turns away and departs from evil. He who guards his way protects his life, his soul. And that's from Proverbs 16:17. What page is that, Rita? I always go to you. Page 19. So we're on page 19. And again, from Proverbs 16:17, it says the highway of the upright turns away and departs from evil. He who guards his way protects his life or his soul. Boy, that's a powerful scripture. And I just want us to park here for a minute and just take this scripture apart a bit. As Pastor Steve says, we want to unpack this for a minute. So just looking at this verse gives us yet another reason for accountability of ourselves and our brothers and sisters. We turn away from evil when it is presented to us because our salvation protects and guards our eternal soul. So we got to start looking into eternity, guys. You know, we need to be living in a mindset of eternity. As children of God, we should be looking at eternity. You know, the scriptures, Psalm 62 talks about this very thing. It says, if riches increase, don't set your heart upon it. Whether the riches is in fame, in fortune, in money, it says, don't set your heart on those riches. Because all of this stuff is temporary. Don't you know everything that is that's man-made is temporal? It's falling apart. I don't care how well you build a house or a building. Sooner or later, that thing is going to fall apart. You know, we're aging every day, even our bodies. You know, guys, you know. I mean, those gray hairs be like tick, 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 tick. That's a clock ticking for us. So we don't set our heart on those things. So as we look at our eternal minds, we're looking at the eternal. So that's why we turn away from evil. You know, we do it on purpose because that stuff is just temporary. But we're looking at the eternal. We're protecting the salvation that Jesus bought for us, for our eternal souls. Eternity should always be in the forefront of our minds while living in this temporal existence. Accountability keeps our mind on the eternal. And that's what you do for your brothers and sisters when you're accountable. Again, accountable yourself and accountable to your brothers and sisters. Keep their minds on eternity. See, Satan wants us to forget that we're leaving this place one day. He wants us to forget that. He wants us to get caught up in what's going on here and right in the here and now. He wants us to forget that we're leaving this place one day so he can take us to his eternal destiny. See, his destiny is already set. You know, so he wants to mess with us and make us forget where we need to be, what we need to be thinking about. His eternal destiny is hell. He tries to distract us with the pleasures of sin over the pleasures that God gives. God gives pleasures too, you know, but he tries to distract us and make us think that the pleasures of sin are greater and better than the pleasures that God gives. God gives us a lot of pleasures. I mean, he gives us holy matrimony. I'm talking about holy matrimony. He gives us that. You know, he gives us all kind of things that he gave us in our lives to be pleasurable. He gave us family. He gave us healthy relationships. Oh, and he gave us, oh man, the fruit of the spirit, peace, love, joy, you know, long suffering, goodness. You know, the enemy tries to make you think that these are, oh, what's out there is better. Folks, it's not. You know, we've been out there. We've seen it. You know, there are pleasures out there. I would never stand here and say there are no pleasures out there. There are pleasures out there to be had. But, oh my goodness, the pleasures of God are so much better. They're so much better. So many people are deceived into thinking that the pleasures of sin are greater than the pleasures of God, the pleasure that come with living within the fruit of the Spirit. There is a lightness. There is a joy in living in the fruit of the Spirit. There is a lifting of the burden that comes when you live in the fruit of the Spirit and you live in the way of God. You're not walking around, as I said, like a slave. You know, you're walking around light and free because Jesus took it all. All your past issues, all that stuff, he has it, and he's taking it. So we set our mind. If you write down this scripture, Colossians 3:2, and I'm going to read that because this is the conclusion to this whole thing. It says, set your mind and keep focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth, which only have temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Folks, that's our real life. That's the real life. See, this stuff is passing away. This is like, you know, we get into eternity, this is going to be like a drop in the bucket. You know, but it determines everything. It determines where you spend eternity.
Right.
You know, but that's, this is not the real life. This is a, you know, as the scripture says, we look through a glass darkly, you know, but oh boy, then we're going to see everything as it is on that day. So again, we want to depart from evil. Back to Proverbs 16:17 says the upright turns away. We do it on purpose. We make a decision to turn away from evil because we are guarding and we are protecting our eternal soul in that. We're not going to be tempted by that because, you know, that would cost me my soul. You know, and Jesus paid too much for my salvation. I'm not going there. Okay, I'm not going there. I'm not, you know, throwing his blood on the floor, as it were. You know, so I can have just a moment. And it is just for a moment of pleasure. Next point in the lesson says, being accountable to God because of the great gift of freedom he has afforded us in Christ prompts us toward obedience. And that's from the War Room book. Obeying God gives us freedom in our spirits in that we are not bound by the chains of guilt and condemnation for our sins. As Christ has set us free, Satan desires to recapture us and place us again in chains. As we help our brothers and sisters in accountability, we help them to avoid recapture. You understand that? He is out there trying to capture you again. I don't care how long you've been in Christendom. He is out there trying to recapture us again to get us. I've seen people saved 20, 30, 40 years. And the enemy got them, deceived them, because that's all he does. That's all he does, deceives, deceives. He can't make you do anything. So he has to deceive you into doing things. You know, so he's always trying to recapture you. The enemy tries to blind us and our brothers and sisters to how we were before Christ, to forget that what we were saved from. You ever had the enemy tempt you on stuff that you don't do anymore? You left that stuff behind, and he tries to make it seem like, oh, wasn't it so good back then? What was it? You know, when you really see it, yeah, I went out and I partied and I had a good time, but I was sick as a dog the next morning, you know? Yeah, I did that, but man, I was always fighting with people, you know, and I, you know, my family had no respect for me and all of this stuff was going on, and he blinds you to that stuff. So you want to see that you don't want to forget where Jesus saved you from. And the enemy wants you to think that, you know, you can go back to that. The next point in your lesson says our accountability to one another is a reflection of the freedom lived responsibly. I love that statement from the book. It says our accountability to one another is a reflection of the freedom lived responsibly. Use your freedom to help your brothers and sisters. That's what your freedom is for. See, use your freedom for what Jesus died for so that humanity could be saved. You know, that's why he set you free, so that you could use it responsibly. Boy, I love that twist on it. You know, because sometimes we think of freedom in one other way. But instead of seeing freedom for using it for the purposes of Christ, your lesson says, as a famous quote goes, freedom isn't free. To become free costs a great price. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're always thanking our military. Oh, thank you for your sacrifice. Because we know it was a sacrifice for them to leave their home, go overseas somewhere, and put their life on the line so that we could be free.
Right.
And that's why Jesus, but look at what Jesus did. I mean, his blood. To remain free takes being responsible in our in our work to press close to Christ as we are targeted by the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we are responsible in our work to press close to Christ. That's part of your work, you know. Part of your work is pressing close to Christ. Part of your work is studying and knowing his word. Part of your work is being in prayer. Do you understand? That's part of what you're called to do in your freedom in Christ, is to press close to him. We are also responsible for our brothers and sisters, backed in prayer and accountability when they fail or fall short in their works to draw close to the Lord. Galatians 6:1 teaches us this. So I'm read that, I want to say, use your freedom to serve Christ. We have dismissed the idea that freedom is all about, we have to dismiss the idea that freedom is all about our own pleasure. Because that's what we're taught from the time we live in the United States of America, honey. And we talk about, I got a right and I'm free. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's our Declaration of Independence, you know. And we do it, you know. And we think freedom is all about our pleasure. Freedom is all about our happiness. That's what freedom is all about. That's why we're free. So I can just pleasure myself. No, it's not. No, it's not, guys. We got to twist our minds from that mindset. I mean, I love this country. I'm all for these sacred documents. But you got to find out, what is the pursuit of happiness for you? In Jesus Christ, it's different. You know, my pursuit of happiness is pleasing him. That is my pursuit of happiness, and that should be your pursuit of happiness, is pleasing him. When I please him, then I'm happy. Amen. You know, and that's when you get it, you know. And sometimes you're like, well, you know, okay, so I got to please somebody else in order to be. Honey, when you please in Jesus, you will be happy. I guarantee you, you will be happy, because what does the old song says? You can't beat God's giving. No matter how you try, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Just keep on giving, because it's really true. You can't beat God's giving. I'm telling you, start giving to Jesus and carrying out his purpose, you'll be the happiest person on the planet. Amen. You're talking about the pursuit of happiness. That's how we pursue happiness. That's what we do with our freedom. We love with our freedom. We pursue happiness in our service to the Lord. And this is what Galatians 6:1-2 says. Brother, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. Oh, my goodness. Let us get this piece. Oh, man, if we could just get that. Boy, if you could just see the humble king. Can you see the humble king in your mind? Oh, boy, the king that we serve is a humble king. He, the crown of thorns, that's our king. I mean, that's our king. That's the one I serve. See, I don't understand these people that walk around with their nose in the air. I said, because I don't know who you serving. Because my king is a humble king. You know, he's got all power in his hand, but he's humble. You know, that's what really throws us off, you know, because we're used to people that have all power being arrogant and being, you know, cruel. But our king is so different. He's got all power in his hand, but he's a humble king, and he calls us to humility. So when we're restoring a brother and sister, as the scripture says, you restore them in the spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Oh, I'm telling you, because the moment you get a prideful look in your eye, you are messing up. I'm telling you, the enemy's got you. As soon as you get prideful, the enemy's got his hook on you. So you have to watch yourself, as the scripture says. Carry, I love that. Carry one another's burdens. Carry it. And in this way, you fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is the law of Christian love, the law of Christian love. That's what we're called to do. We carry it. We don't gossip about it. We carry it. We pray. We take our brothers and sisters' burdens into our prayer closet, into our war room, and we join them in doing warfare. Even when they don't even know to pray for themselves, we're in there carrying their burden and praying for them. That's what this means. We carry their burdens and fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. Because see, that's what Christ did. He carried our sin. He carried it. And he calls us to do the same, that we carry it. And that, again, is Galatians 6, 1 and 2, and that's in the Amplified. The next part of our verse says, there are so many things in this life and in this world that can tempt us to pull away from our Lord and back into bondage. Therefore, we must willfully hold to our freedom in Christ and encourage our brothers and sisters to do the same. Folks, at any given day, there are temptations coming at all of us. You can't point the finger. I can't point the finger at anybody. I got to keep myself in check. I got to keep myself, you know, because the enemy is all around me trying to get me to do this and get me to do that. So that's what we do. We got, it's an act of your will. You understand? You're not going to feel like it most of the time. It is an act of your will to be humble, to be obedient, you know, to do what Christ tells you to do in light of everything around you. So again, we want to encourage our brothers and sisters, do the same. They may come to you all angry and hot and, you know, and feeling entitled and got a right to and all of this stuff. But folks, you turn them toward Christ. That's accountability right there. You turn them toward Christ. Yes, you do. Yes, you can do that. You can do all of that because God gives you free will. You can do whatever you want. But this is the law of Christ, that we humble ourselves, that we take it, that we listen to him when as how he wants us to respond. I'm not saying you be a doormat. I'm just saying you listen to Christ on how to respond. And that's what we do, what he tells us to do. Satan lies to us and those who are not yet accepted Christ so that we think that we're serving Christ in bondage. When just the opposite is true, that's what the world says. Well, I can't be a Christian because you guys got too many rules. You got too many regulations. Y'all in bondage, man. Y'all just, you know, y'all just can't do anything. That's a lie of the enemy. See, we're the free ones. They're the ones in bondage. But the enemy has got it all turned around and twisted in their minds that they think they're free. You know, and we've got to, boy, I'm telling you, we got to live the free life in front of them. When it's the opposite, that's true. Sin keeps you a slave. Look at the drug addictions. From drug addictions to people who are unfaithful in their marriage to human trafficking to lying. Oh, just the lying alone. Slaves to lies. Just a lie. A lie will just roll off people's tongue so quickly. Because we're slaves to it. Sexual perversions are just run rampant. Because we're slaves to it. And the enemy has got them thinking they're free. Oh, I'm free. I can do this and I can do that. And I got the freedom to do all of this. And they have no idea that they're slaves. And that's why we pray, guys. That's why we pray. Because they're slaves. They're in bondage. Their minds are blind to the truth. And they think we're slaves, but no, we've been set free. You know, we see the truth and we choose to live the way we live because this is where freedom is. That's why we choose. We do things that go not only against God, we do things that go against our own humanity. We do things that will decrease our existence on the planet. We do things that kill us. In our free, in our so-called freedom, we choose things that kill us. Things that demean our humanity. I'm just surprised at the way people are. I mean, have some self-respect. If you don't even know God, how come you have no self-respect? Because you're a slave. And as a slave, you carry yourself any old kind of way. You don't even have respect for your own humanity. I mean, you see it all around you. I'm like, you know, there was a time I would do that, but boy, no, that demeans me to do that. Not anymore. Because the enemy has made us slaves and we do things that lead to our own extinction on the planet. Some of the choices we've made is killing us off left and right. As I told you, 1 million people die every week. Do you know that? I was like, check out the world clock, worldclock.com. I look at the number of people, over 100,000 people die daily. and it comes up to over a million over a 7-day period die every week on planet Earth. So we got to look at, you know, and all these people are not dying of old age. Okay. These people are dying of all kind of things. So again, we've got to pray for our world, pray for humanity. The scriptures teach us, this is on your lesson, and I walk in the liberty or the freedom, for I seek and deeply long for your precepts. That's Psalm 119:45. That's David speaking. I walk in liberty. I seek, and he links it to, I seek your precepts. That's how I walk in freedom, is because I seek your precepts. And in doing so, I walk in freedom. The word of God is one of the most powerful defenses in remaining free. Folks, we gotta turn this truck around, you know, because the enemy's got people thinking that, oh no, not those Christians with all their rules. No, this sets you free. People who have not accepted Christ do not understand the human condition, that humanity is in a battle. They don't get that they're in a war zone. Mm-hmm. They don't know it. They don't know that they're surrounded by the hordes of hell that's got them with a neck collar in a chain, yanking them here and there. You know, a man can't help but lust after a woman. A woman can't help but lust after a man. A woman's gonna dress in a certain way so that, you know, men will lust after her, you know, but it's her right, it's her freedom. Doesn't even know she's a slave. You're doing that because you're a slave. And your master told you to do that. That's why you do it, because your master told you to do it. And your master hates you. They don't even know they're in a war zone between good and evil. They don't even know that they're moving toward a cliff called eternity. And once you fall off, you fall off. There's no coming back. So, folks, this is why, again, why we're doing this last, the war room. Because we're in a war and we've got to pray. You know, when you're in a war room, or when we look at a war room, and I don't know if any you guys saw this the movie, but they showed this room and they showed these military people standing around a table, and they had a map laid out in front of them, because that's what you do. You know, in the White House, I think they have what they call the Situation Room. And in the Situation Room, they have a big map of the world where they're showing the layout of everything, where the enemies are and where their armies are and where the strategy. And from that, they look at the strategy. You know, people don't know they're in a war. They're just la, 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 and don't know that they're in a war, and that, you know, but we have to think like strategists. And that strategy comes from the commander in chief. The Lord will tell you day by day what to do, how to pray. I don't know about you, but I run into people every single day that need prayer. Mm-hmm. Every single day I hear of a new situation, a new issue, a new problem that needs prayer. And most of these people don't even know that they're in the middle of a war zone, that the enemy is trying to take them out. They don't even know it. So that's where we come in. What does the scripture says? We're lights that shine in a perverse generation in which we shine as lights. We pray. We go into our war room and we do make intercession for people so that they will be saved. Your lesson says, as we read it, digest it, meditate on it, and live it, we build a fortress in our lives against the attack of Satan. And we're talking about the word of God, the precepts that David talked about. We read it, we digest it, we meditate on it, and we live it. And we build a fortress in our lives against the attacks of Satan. The way of God guides our decision making and keeps us from traps from the enemy. He's always setting traps for you. And you got to keep that in mind. He's always setting some traps for you. Remember what the scripture says. You are counted daily as sheep to be slaughtered. Thank you. You got to take that literally and understand he's out to get you. Live the word of God at all times, not just when you're in a good mood, folks. Because that's the way we do. That's the way. Hey, that's true. Isn't that true? We live it when we're in a good mood. Oh, yeah, I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. Oh, yes, I'm blessed. Oh, yes. Oh, Sunday morning. Yes, we're all that. Oh, but Monday morning coming. With all the troubles and trials, you got to walk into that workplace. And you want to have an attitude. No, no, no. That's when you really got to live it. Amen. It's the light that shines in the darkness. Mm-hmm. The light that shines in the darkness. Everybody else can come in a bad mood, but not you. We live the word of God even when we're in a bad mood or even when we don't feel like it. The next point in your lesson says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Amen. Emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:17. This is where true freedom is. The Holy Spirit lives within us as we have a pure heart toward God, a heart that is trying to live pleasing to God, a heart that responds to the conviction of sin and is quick to repent. Oh, folks, don't get bound up. When you messed up, repent. It's not even worth it. I'm like, it's not even worth it for me to be mad at you for a day. It's not even worth it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to repent. If I need to ask you to forgive me, I'm saying, forgive me, please. Because I can't, nothing between my soul and my Savior. I can't. That's the way we roll, folks. That's the way we roll in Jesus Christ. We're quick to repent. This type of heart lives within the freedom and peace of the Holy Spirit. There's no reason for you to live in mental or spiritual bondage. Repent. It's not worth it. Let it go. Next one of your lessons says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, which you once removed. There it is right in the scriptures, Galatians 5:1. You know, don't be into bondage again. So it can happen, you know, where he has set you free. Then the scripture says, stand fast, stand in the liberty, stay in the freedom, and don't be subjected again to the yoke of slavery. And you got to be careful because all kind of things can come at you. They come through people. I don't know if you ever had people that just try to bind you up again. Man, you were set free from something and they come bringing it up. I'm like, let please. You know, as I demonstrated to you all the time, show me them nails. Show me the nails in your hands. Show me. I just need to see where you died for me. Because if you didn't, honey, you need to back up. You haven't died for me. You need to back up. You know, I'm going to stay free. You know, I'm not going to go back to the stuff that's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I hate to see that so many people that are just living oppressed in Christendom. They've accepted Jesus Christ, but still the enemy's all in their head with lies, and they're just sitting there taking it. Better take authority over that fella. Put him in his place. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. That needs to be your model. You know, as you go through the day, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. You know, somebody was, you know, telling me about some of this witchcrafty stuff that you see around all the time. And, oh, you better be careful of that. And don't touch it. I said, I ain't touch. But greater is he that is within me. If I happen to brush up against it, I'm not worried. Because greater is he that is within me. I dare. Don't even try to put anything on me. Because Jesus got my back, honey. You better be careful. Right. I believe they see those angels. They see those angels. I don't know if you guys remember the story of John Ramirez. I don't know if we showed the video in class, but we were talking about John Ramirez and how he was worshiping Satan. And they were trying to put some kind of spell on this woman. And this woman was a prayer warrior. And, you know, one of the demons told John Ramirez, he said, somebody told him, you leave her alone. Because her God says you better leave her alone. Her God, her God said you better leave her alone. So we got to leave her alone. And that's the way it is. You know, I'm telling you, and another person, I remember a friend, they were walking in this house, and they said in this house they had the gift of sight and they could see spirits. And they said they were walking in this house and they saw all kind of spirits in this house. And one of those spirits leaned toward her, and she said, and I saw my guardian angel just pull his sword out halfway, just halfway. And she said, and that spirit went right back into place and let her pass. You know, and she said, I saw this in spirit. And that's the way you've got to see it, folks. We don't have to walk around here with our tail between our legs and like, oh, scared. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. We've got to understand who we serve and whose we are. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. I'm not walking around scared and afraid of this and afraid of that and afraid of a crystal and afraid of a stone and afraid of, you know, all this kind of nonsense that people got going on. Yeah, okay. But greater is he that is within me. Now, I'm not going around looking for trouble. You know, I'm not going on. That's a balance. Don't go around looking for trouble. But if you happen to be in a situation, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. So we know that, you know, as the man said, our God is God. Okay, I love that line. My God is God. Okay, I don't know who y'all serving, you know. So it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, be completely free, liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery which you were once removed. This verse describes another part of staying free. It involves standing firm. We will be faced with many challenges in this life, but we can stand firm against it within the authority of Christ. Remember that. Within the authority of Christ. Okay, because outside of Christ... Oh, the enemy, yes, he will take you on a ride, okay? You know, so don't try to go outside of the authority of Christ. That means you've got to stay obedient and stay lined up with Christ. Because I've seen Christians really get beaten down because they were out of God's will, trying to go up against the enemy. Don't you do that. You stay within the authority of Christ. And the scripture says, this is John 16:33, it says, he said, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Because I have overcome the world. So you've got to know it's coming. Trials are going to come. You're going to have hard days. You're going to have hard times. But know that he has overcome the world. The choice to stand within Christ is yours. And we are called to stand, folks. In this day and age, we are standing like I don't think we've ever stand before. And then I take that back sometimes because I showed you the video about the early church. And how they had to stand. They had to stand in the face of death. Every single one of those disciples, except Judas, was killed for the cause of Christ. Do you understand? Killed for the cause of Christ. Are you ready to stand till death? And we don't usually talk about that in the church, but you know, we need to talk about it. Because there's, you know, people are not so Christian friendly like it used to be in the United States of America. Are you ready to stand? Having done all to stand, are you standing? It takes standing, you know, to be in the war. You know, you can't always be running and retreating. Sometimes Christ calls you to stand. Even through physical death, he calls you to stand. And again, that's a question you need to answer now. I don't know if it'll ever come to that. You know, I know you're waiting on the rapture of the church. I know it's the next thing in line. All the Bible prophecies have been fulfilled, you know. So we have to just see how things are going to play out. You know, we trust in our Lord. You know, but that's a question I think we need to answer in our mind. If somebody told me to deny him or die, what would I do? Yeah. It's a question you need to answer. You know, if somebody threatened my child, you know, deny him or I'm going to take your child out, what would you do? You know, those are questions that need to be answered. Where is your loyalties with Jesus Christ? You know, we got to get this down. You know, this is a day and age where the church cannot afford to be mediocre. We've got to be the church. We got to be those that stand, you know, through the darkness. You know, there's a lot of movies out now that have been out, or new movies that have been made about the rapture and the post-rapture and what it's like after the rapture of the church, you know, and how, you know, and the Bible makes it very clear, because I was reading about this, I believe in 2 Thessalonians, they talk about how the beast will put the Christians to death, how mm-hmm. those that believe in Jesus Christ are going to be put to death. That's what the scripture, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. You know, and I can imagine how that could happen, because after the church is raptured, can you imagine the chaos that's going to be on the planet Earth? Can you imagine? See, they make these movies, and I watch these movies, and I said, but you, that doesn't even begin to depict how bad it's going to be. Because can you imagine every child gone? Every infant gone? Oh my goodness. There's going to be some sadness. And I can imagine the people that are left here being angry with the Christians. Can you imagine? And then those that are trying to accept Christ after the rapture, what their life is going to be like. So the scriptures make sense. Knowing humanity, knowing humankind, if the rapture happen, you can imagine their hatred toward Christians and anybody that would serve Jesus Christ. But there are going to be those that are going to be wanting to serve Jesus Christ, because now they've come to believe. Oh, I heard what mama was saying. I heard what daddy was saying. I heard what auntie was saying, and you know, all these things. I heard what the preacher said to me one day, and okay, this Jesus thing is true, because now he's taken his church out of the world. They're going to have to stand. Stand or take the mark. Those are the choices. Stand or take the mark. You know, so again, folks, this is, you know, we got to be thinking, we're pre-rapture, but we got to be thinking about these things ourselves. What is distracting you? What's pulling you away from him? You know, what would you trade for him? Folks, we got to think about it. I'm telling you. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but this series has really just hit me between the eyes and my own faith and my own belief and where I stand and, you know, what would I do if this happened or that happened? And that's something you have to answer yourself. I can't answer the question for you. You have to answer it for yourself. The next point in your lesson says, but now since you have been set free from sin and have become willing slaves to God, see, you have your benefit resulting in sanctification, being made holy and set apart for God's purpose. And the outcome of this is eternal life, Romans 6:22. Okay, so let's talk about being a slave to God. We're just talking about this slavery thing. What is it to be a slave to God? To be a slave to God is to live free. Now, those seem like opposites, doesn't it? To be a slave to God is to live free. The term slave describes a person who does not know what he or she wills, does not do what he or she wills, but what their master wills. That's what a slave does. They do what the master wills. The slave obeys without questioning the commands of their master. The slaves of Satan and of mankind live with fear, for they cannot trust the intentions of their master. Their master does not love them. That's what we were just talking about. Their master does not love them. In fact, their master hates them. In deep contrast, the slaves of God live with peace, knowing the love of their master for them. They move and act in the freedom of peace, knowing their Lord is able to carry out his promise and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. Hallelujah. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3:20. Oh my goodness. See, you see the contrast? Serving a master that hates you. Just using you. Just using you up. Just using you. In deep contrast, you have the love of Christ. The one that died. Your master suffered and died for you. That's your master. And he does exceedingly abundantly above what you would dare ask. Oh my goodness, what you would dare ask. I mean, some things, I'm like, I'm not going to ask God because it's too much, you know. And he will do it for you. He will do it for you. I'm like, Lord, I didn't need that. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Lord, I didn't need that. I already had this. I didn't need that. You know, I was good. But he said, I just want to bless you because I love you. I'm not blessing you because I want something back from you. Because there's nothing really you can give me. You know, I'm here to save you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to love on you. All because I love you. I tell you, again, I'm back to the song. You can't beat God's giving. No matter how you try. So there's a contrast between being a slave to God and a slave to Satan. You know, so you gotta know the difference. The slaves of Satan, they don't, as I said, they're blind. They don't even know it. The slaves to Christ, where our eyes are wide open and we see the lay of the land. You know, he gave us his word. So not only do we know the current lay of the land, we know the future. Our eyes wide open. Yes. We know what's coming. Mm-hmm. He put prophecy after prophecy after prophecy in here. So when we see it coming to pass, we will know what's coming. Mm-hmm. Our eyes, I want you to be aware. You know, it says that in the Bible. I want you to be aware, little children. He wants us to know the time is coming. And remember Jesus taught, he said, when you see this happening and you see that happen, look to the sky, because I'm coming. I'm coming for my children.
Hallelujah.
I tell people, he coming. You can do what you want, but he coming. So again, we just love him. Our God is so holy and so full of love that to be his slave is our ultimate freedom. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. He's so full of love. He is so holy that to be his slave is our ultimate freedom as human beings. Boy. To be his slave is the greatest joy any human being can have. Hallelujah. Therefore, we see that freedom is one of the greatest gifts of our salvation, bought with the blood of Christ. This freedom is to be treasured, protected, and maintained with the weapons of our spiritual warfare given to us by God, which is prayer and his word. I'm telling you, protect your salvation. Don't be raggedy with your salvation. Protect it. Keep it safe. And you do that by staying in the word and staying in prayer. That being said, and that should be being and not be, that being said and understood, the apostle asked the question, who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Wow. He asks us that question. And then he goes on to say, will tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. What's going to separate you? Beloved, what will separate you from his love? Just as it is written and forever remains written, for your sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. There it is. We're regarded as sheep. I mean, the enemy is counting us every day. How many more of those Christians on the planet? Okay. All right. And he's just sending out his army. His principalities are set up all over the world. And he's sending out his army. You take that one. You take that one. Oh, man, you're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory. Through him who loved us so much that he died for us. That's Romans 8, 35, 37 in the Amplified. Hallelujah. So this scripture encapsulates knowing the lay of the land. This is our map. This is our strategy map in the war room. Knowing the lay of the land. Knowing that daily you're counted. You know, he has sent this one after you and this one after you. He knows you how to push your buttons. Why? Because they've been watching you. They've been watching you, and they know just how to push your button. They know the person you react to, the person that gets you mad. They know. Devil knows. And that's how they push your buttons. You know, and if you don't take authority over that thing, might as well be a slave. If you don't take authority, you've got the power. greater is he that is within you. But if you just let your sword is hanging out on the floor, you know, and you don't pray, well, you might as well be a slave. You know, here you are free in Christ. But you got to take up your sword, beloved, every day. You know, others cannot take up your sword for you all the time. You know, when your children, yes, you pray over the children. You know, teach the children to pray. But you pray over them. Ask the Lord to protect them. But there comes a point, folks, when you got to learn how to pray for yourself. You know, I've had people come to me, pray for me for this, pray. And I don't mind praying. But when I pray, I'm like, I pray you pray. I pray that you pray. I think C.C. Winans sings that song. I pray you pray. You know? Because at some point, we got to grow up and pray. We got to know the lay of the land. We got to know who God is. We have to know what Christ has done. Oh, boy. And you got to know what's going to separate you. What you think might separate you from his love. You need to answer that question. What would? You know, there was a time, and I'm just being really honest. There was a time I think my children would have. I would have done anything for my children. But as I have grown in Christ, yes. I'm like, I'm doing them no favors. Yeah. I am not doing them or myself any favors by sinning for them. Oh, mothers in the room, come on now. Mama's in the room, come on. I'm doing them no favors. In fact, I'm harming them and hurting them when I deny Christ for them. It may seem like a wonderful, lovely thing to do, but folks, I'm telling you, deceived. Mm-hmm. The enemy's got you deceived.
Yep.
So I had to answer that question. Oh, Lord, let nothing separate us. Jesus chains us with love. That's what he does. He chains us with love. And the only way I could think to compare that to is going back to children again. Boy, if you've had children, boy, you know those first moments after delivery? Oh, man, you just never realize you could fall in love so fast. I mean, within seconds, something happens in your brain and click, click, click. You are now number two. You know, this person is number one. And I mean, those little guys, they come in there and they take your money. They take your house. They take your food.
Your peace of mind.
They take your peace. They take your time. They come in your life and they take everything. And why do you do it? Love. You do it because you love them, man. They come and that's what Jesus does too. You're like, Jesus comes into your life and people don't even understand it. People around you, oh, Jesus, you talking about Jesus again? He just takes over. You just fall in love with Jesus. You give Jesus anything. Yeah, I'll do that for Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, yeah, Jesus, you're talking. Jesus, Jesus, just coming off your tongue. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You just love him. You just love him. He's like that. He gets into your heart. And this is the only way I can compare it to is how that baby, that infant, can't even talk, can't even walk. But it gets all, that child gets all in your heart. And you will take a bullet for them. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it happening. Mothers, you see moms. You know? And that's what Jesus does. You just love him so much. And he's so precious to you. That you're willing to lay down your life for him. And just finally finishing up, the root mark of a believer in Jesus Christ is freedom. Hallelujah. Believers are free. The greatest joy of any church, the collective body of Christ, should be the freedom that we have from the consequences of sin. We're free of that. You know, they said, you're free. Hallelujah. Be sure that you are continually praying for the church of Jesus Christ, both corporately and individually. Pray for the church. Pray for each other. See, this whole chapter is about each other. Accountability. Us together. Holding together. Loving each other. Praying for each other. Keeping each other. Pray for your relationships with other believers, even good relationships, that they will grow and remain strong and full of accountability. You know, because the enemy would love nothing more than to destroy your good relationships. You know, you have good friendships, good relationships. I've seen the enemy just come and just sever it. People have been friends for 10, 20, 30 years. Oh, the enemy loves stuff like that. So pray over your relationships. That they remain strong and full of accountability. You know, as we talked about, don't turn away accountability. When people are telling you stuff, they pour it into you, and you know these folks love you, listen. The Lord is trying to help you. You toward them. Be full of accountability. You toward them and they toward you. That should be pray for. Pray for overall humility within the Church of Christ so that we can receive the truth from each other. Oh, wow. Wow, there's no pride in here, man. I tell you, folks, we got to be humble and receive what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And then our final verse, John 8:32, says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen, amen, amen. The truth sets us free.
Oh, I'm not ready to 100% die for Christ. So, yeah, that's
interesting, you know, what she's saying. That's a good, that's an interesting comment,
well, for
Rachel.
Me, I'm not ready yet, personally.
Well, you know what, Rachel? Just like me, you keep growing in the Lord, okay?
Well, yeah. I know I'm not going to have a choice, but I want to be ready so it's not half-hearted, you know?
Yeah, you want to be ready. You going on the first trip.
Me.
Rachel's going on the first trip, y'all, okay? Because she said, I can't be here dealing with that.
It's no good, you know?
Okay, anybody else has any comments?
Yes,
Karen,
I have to share my
story.
Okay, we'll see
you. Because I keep thinking about it, you were talking about how God blesses us even when we are not even looking for the blessing.
Uh-huh.
And I had shared with Sister Rita almost 2 years ago. I had a SUV paid for, had some hail damage and so forth. But my husband kept telling me, you know what, that SUV's getting old, you need to get it. And I'm like, no, I don't want a car payment. I don't want to mess with that. I don't need it. It runs. It's okay. Well, one day he said, come on, I want you to go to a car dealership and look for a new car. And I went, but I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, please convince him. I really don't. This runs for me. I don't need a new vehicle. Please, please intervene. So we go, and I, you know, of course you go and you see everything you like, especially when it's newer than what you've
the
got.
New gadget.
And I saw this vehicle, and my husband liked it. It was a good price. It had low mileage. And I remember standing in the dealership, and I'm going, Lord Jesus, I don't really want to go into car payments and stuff, but if it's your will, if you want me to do it and you want me to have it, and just let it work. Well, that car he wanted, everything just fell into place. And I remember sitting in that dealership. Lord, you know you'd want this car. I told Rita the next morning, this was on a Saturday, on a Sunday, happened to look up by the windshield where your rear view mirror is. And here is she's seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the shape of a heart on that windshield. And I showed that to my kids. I've showed it to everybody. And they're like, yeah, it's probably just a leaf that fell on it, shaped like it. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's what that is, okay. But I'm believing that God gave that to me out of his love for me.
Yes.
2 years later, through pounding rainstorms, I've had to scrape ice off that windshield. My husband takes that car to the car wash and still looks on that windshield. And that heart is still
there. Wow.
That
wow.
It has not moved.
You can't feel it.
But you can't
like
feel it.
It's like a grate in the glass. Wow.
And you feel it, and you can't feel anything. You scrape that windshield, which I've had to do in the wintertime. It does not move.
Wow.
And every day I get in that car, I look at that heart, and I'm like, I love you too, Lord.
I love you too. He says, see, he does it like that because he wants you to know this is from me.
Yeah.
You know, this may be seem really crazy, but I got a heart-shaped potato chip one time, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing from the I took a picture of it because, you know, I was like, and I was showing people, look at this. It just God just, you know, you know, one of my friends says, you need to get out more.
Well, I even
but I just thought it was just so beautiful. Amen.
Yes,
so
and I even said to Rita, now Rita, I'm going to tell you something, but you're going to think I'm crazy. But I don't care what anybody says, because everybody still tries to tell me it's stuck there or something. No, that's from God.
That's from God.
God wanted me to have.
Amen.
And I'm just so happy. And like I said, every morning I get in that car and I'm like, I love you too.
Yes, he does that. I mean, I'm telling you, if you pay attention, you can see him all over the place. Just intervening in your life, you know, just doing things. There was a, telling the story, there was a young lady that came into my office this week and she was just talking about just some of the hard times she was having. She's a single parent and she was having all these hard times and stuff. And she was, you know, we got to talk about gardening and she was talking about how she raised roses. She's growing roses. She said, you know, the funniest thing last December, I don't know why she brought this up out of the blue. There was a rose that bloomed on my rose bush last December. She said, I couldn't understand it. She said, and I just picked it. I couldn't understand how a rose was blooming in December when everything was dead all around me. And boy, I said, you know what I feel from that? I just feel God is just telling you that he sees you. I said, even in a season where everything seems dead and cold,
right.
He just has to speak it and he sends you a rose. I said, a flower to tell you that he loves you. You know, and it's most interesting thing. After that, I had to go to run to the post office. And, you know, and before I left, our administrative assistant says, hey, buy stamps for this person, this lady, young lady that just in my office. She needs some stamps. So I said, okay, I'm running to the post office. I ran to the post office. And I got there, and they said, do you want flags or flowers? I said, oh, I'll just take flowers. You know, so I usually get flags, but this time I got flowers. You know, I want to say flowers, but I said flowers, you know. And I got the flowers, and what do you know? I had to deliver these stamps to her when I got back to the center. And what do you think was on that flower?
Rose.
One rose.
Oh.
One rose stamp. 2018, one rose stamp.
Yeah.
And I took it, gave it to her, and I said, here are your stamps. And I said, I want you to see what's on there. And she looked at it. She's like, oh, my God. She goes, I'm like, girl, he be listening. He be listening. We both looked at her. He be listening. So he listens, you know. But, you know, and I think it's good to testify and point out those things because those are the things God wanted her to know. That I see you, and because she came in talking about her and her child and what they were going through, and I believe God was just wanting to send her a message. I see you, and I hear you, and I've got you. And oh, he's so good. He's so good.
Yesterday we went to the soccer field because we're trying to exercise a little bit more. And Addie was saying, there's no shade here. And I said, look, there's a shade under every tree, but we got to go real fast to each tree. And it was too far between trees, and God sent us clouds. Almost the whole time we were on that soccer field, a cloud would come, and it would leave, and we'd be under the shade of the tree, and another cloud would come, so we could go to the next. And I told her, see how sweet he is?
Yes.
You were hot.
And you have, you know, don't take those things for granted. I'm telling you, God is involved. He's active. He's listening to your whispers. He hears it. And he sees it. He heard you, baby. Yes. He heard you.
Yes.
He know you needed some shade. He didn't want any shade on his baby, any sun burning on his baby's head. He wanted you to be covered with a cloud. So praise God.
Well, you know, Karen, this scripture does say
He does exceedingly above all that we ask, but it also says, or think.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you have that experience of just having a thought go through your head, and then God will do it for you. I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't even say that out loud, you know, and he does it.
So this isn't that anything that happened to me, but it's a lady that comes to this church, and somebody stole her car. So it was all
stole
damaged.
Stole her car.
Yes, and her husband had passed away, so she had to take care of everything. So they were talking about her. She had to get a new car. And so her stepdaughter on Monday said, okay, we're going to go look. Mm-hmm. So they went to look, and when they saw a certain car, which is the one that she bought, her stepdaughter says, that's the car. And she said, no, you know, I got to be careful. I don't want to, I need a down payment. So, you know, she was thinking that way. She heard her husband's voice and told that, that he told her, that's the car.
Wow.
And she bought it.
Wow.
And at the end, she says, I wasn't thinking, but the down payment was there because she was getting money from the, the old car that had gotten damaged, and everything fell in place.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
He's there.
And I just got to quote this scripture. My maker is my husband. The Lord God Almighty is his name. I'm telling you. He will do some amazing things. But, you know, and it helps you, you know, pay attention and see what God is doing. He's doing all these wonderful, amazing things around us. If we would just see it and pay attention, and you'll see him everywhere.
And then the thing that happened to her is that she's taking care of her, her sister. So she worries about her. Mm-hmm. And one night she just woke up, I don't know what time of the night, and she saw, you know, a light, but she knew it wasn't coming, you know, it wasn't a normal light. And so she got up, and when she was going, she saw this big wing and through the door. So she kept going. She wanted to go see. It was like an angel's wing. Mm-hmm. And when she was halfway to where that light was coming from, it disappeared.
It disappeared.
It disappeared. Wow. It wasn't for her to see it, but still got. And she says, I see that bright light. Mm-hmm. She said, you can't describe it. And I've seen that before. Mm-hmm. And you can't describe it with any light.
Yeah.
It's just bright, but not bright that hurts your eyes. Mm-hmm. You can't describe it.
God is there. God is there intervening. Anybody else? We good? Well, let's pray. Oh, Virginia.
Yeah, I heard a story about a man that had a son and his best friend. They were out in the river or something, and all of a sudden the storm started, and they threw the boys out. And so, and the father had the life ring, and he had to decide. He wanted to throw the offering to his son or to his friend. The friend was unsaved, but his son wasn't. And so he pondered, and he said, who should I do it? So he thought, well, if I save it to my son, the friend will die and go to hell. If I save it to my friend, my son will die. And so he said, well, my son will go to heaven. So I'm going to say, so he sold it to, and threw it to the man who was drowning. About 20 years later, that same man came back, and he was a preacher, and he looked him up, and he said, I was that friend that you threw the lifeline to.
Wow.
Just how things happen, you know, we don't even stop to think.
Thinking in the eternal.
Yes. But he knew that his friend, if he died, he'd go to hell. But that friend came back as a minister to witness.
Yes.
Yeah. And I heard that story and I started crying. I thought, how many times do we want to throw the lifeline out to somebody?
Yes.
We don't know who to throw it to. Mm. So we just have to toss it and let it go for it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
As I said, mindset to think in the eternal and be obedient to Christ and what he is telling us to do. To give as he tells us to give, you know.
Because he is very involved. When he realized that he threw that boy with God. God called him a minister. Mm-hmm. And he's still telling the story of what... That was a true story.
Wow.
That he said it actually happens.
Wow. So, I tell you, God is good. Let's pray, folks. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you for your precious word, Lord God. Everything we need is in your word, Lord. Everything we need for life and for understanding is in your word, Lord God. So our prayer is that we would take your word and absorb it, Lord, and live it, Lord, and believe it and trust it, Lord God. Father, we're bombarded with so many other philosophies of living, Lord God. We're bombarded with revenge, and we're bombarded, Lord God, with pride, and we're bombarded with so many things in this world and in our society. But Lord, I pray we would choose your word. We would choose your will. We would choose your way. We would choose to be obedient to your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that we would decrease and you would increase in us, Lord God. Father, our prayer, our sincere prayer is that we would shine as lights, oh God, in this generation, Lord God. This generation that seems so far gone, Lord God. But Lord, just like you prayed for Peter, we pray for them. We lift them up, Lord God, and we want to shine as lights for them, Lord God. Oh, Father, we pray that you would save this nation. Save us. Set up the standard again in the world and in the nation, Lord God. Oh, yes. Father, we wait. We wait for your return, Lord God. We believe in your return. And Lord, our prayer is that everyone that can be saved would be saved, Lord God. Oh, Lord, everybody that can be saved, Lord, let them be saved, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, because it's just your grace that delays your coming, Lord God. Yes. All the prophecies are fulfilled, Lord God. As the sister said, Lord God, you could come before we get home for dinner, Lord God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, but we thank you for your grace that gives another person another opportunity to accept you and to receive you, Lord God. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord God, on this Sunday morning that people would make a decision for Jesus Christ, Lord God. A decision, Lord God. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, work, Lord God. We pray that mind blindness, Lord God, is resolved, that it goes away, that they would be able to see, oh, Lord, truly that they are in a war zone. That they will be able to see, Lord God, that they have to make a decision. Oh, Lord, and Lord, we pray they choose Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, set up the circumstances, set up the situations, Lord God, so that it would be easy for them to choose. Lord, we can't choose for them. Oh, Lord, but we can pray, Lord God, that you could minister to their hearts, Lord God. Father, we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our family members. We pray for our sons and daughters, Lord God, for our sisters and our brothers. Oh, Lord, our mothers and fathers, Lord, we pray for all of those that don't know Christ, Lord God. We pray for them, Lord. Minister to them, Lord God. Minister to them as only you can minister. Holy Spirit, move on our families. Move on our sons and daughters, Lord. They live in a generation, Lord God, where they think they know, Lord God, and they don't know what they don't know, Lord God. Oh, they don't know about the deception of the enemy. They don't know about the great deceiver, Lord God. Oh, Lord, they don't know, Lord God, that he's got them blinded, Lord God. We pray right now for them. We lift them up, Lord. Oh, Lord, we agree together. Oh, Lord, that you would minister to them. We agree that you would bring them to you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord God. Oh, Lord, minister to them as only you can minister. Lord, you can minister in dreams. You can minister in circumstances, Lord God. You can minister, oh, Lord, to them, Lord. But bring them in. Bring them in, Lord God. Bring them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and we, as we pray these prayers, Lord, we don't just pray them for them just to be going out in the air, oh, Lord, and never heard from again, Lord. We pray and we expect the movement of the Holy Spirit. We expect the movement of the Holy Spirit. Even today, we expect the movement of the Holy Spirit in our families, in our households, in our workplace, Lord. We are looking. Oh, Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open and we would see your movement, Lord God. Let us not be so busy and not be so in such a hurry that we don't see you moving. And we don't see you working, Lord God. Let us not be so busy we can't stop for a moment to minister to someone, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, even as you showed this week, you showed a young mother, Lord God, that you saw her. Oh, Lord God. Lord, let us pay attention. Let us pay attention, Lord. We all have our daily duties, Lord, but God, let us pay attention to the eternal things. Let us not be so caught up in the temporal things, the things that are going to pass away, Lord God, and mean nothing. Oh, Lord, but let us pay attention. Let us live in the eternal. Oh, Lord, awaken us up. Arouse us, Holy Spirit. Arouse us, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we end this chapter on real accountability, Lord, let us live it, Lord God. We see the enemy picking off our brothers and sisters, Lord God. Oh, Lord, Lord, let the Holy Spirit move in us and work in us. Oh, Lord, teach us how to love each other. Yes, teach us how to submit to your Holy Spirit. Teach us how to be humble so that we can love each other. Oh, God, if we would love each other, Lord, I know the people would come. They would come, Lord. Your scripture, the word says that they will know that we have passed from death unto life because we have loved the brothers.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we have loved the brethren. We have loved the sisters, Lord God. That's how the world will know that we have passed from death unto life because we have loved. So, Lord, teach us how to love and put ourselves aside. Oh, Lord, this accountability piece is about getting over ourselves. Oh, Lord God, we cast down pride in ourselves, Lord God. We cast it down that we get over ourselves. Oh, Lord Jesus, so that we can love the brothers and love the sisters. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. And we expect it. We're looking for it, Father. We're looking for it. I know you are hearing every word we're saying in this room, every whisper, the things that are even unspoken. Lord God, you hear that prayer. Oh, Lord, and we expect it. Because you are a good God.
Hallelujah.
And you love us. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to just read this last verse that we closed with. And of course, we know Jesus is the truth, but I just wanted to read it this way. Then you will know Jesus and Jesus will set you
amen.
Free.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Because he is the truth, right? Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.